Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know on AOA. Now, back to Mike Adams.
Well, it was hoped that USMCA would help resolve the trade differences between the U.S. and Canada over dairy, but it looks like even though Canada may technically be following its USMCA obligations, they may have found another way around the issue and causing problems that need to be addressed. Let's talk about it with Shauna Morris, Senior Vice President, Trade Policy for the National Milk Producers Federation. So, Shauna, bring us up to date. Before, we were talking about this Class 7 dairy pricing program Canada had. We thought that was addressed under USMCA, but have they come up with another pricing plan that's causing a problem?
thanks, Mike. Well, the Canadians are always coming up with something on dairy, so that's for sure. USMCA, like you mentioned, was designed to deal with the Class 7 problem. And that was a huge problem, so USMCA had a bunch of different elements that were designed to tackle it from a few different directions. It did away with Class 7, but it did require Canada to figure out, well, how do you price those products once Class 7 is gone? So they created a new class, Class 4A, to price most of those products. A really key part of USMCA, though, working in concert with that, was putting in place export disciplines so that you effectively capped how much protein Canada could offload onto global markets at lower prices. And I'd say the end run that we're most concerned about at this point really seems to be exports of additional products that are trying to evade those export disciplines.
Okay, so for those not real familiar with this, explain how does this negatively impact our dairy producers?
Yeah, I'd say the impacts, if left unchecked, would be similar from what we were worried about with Class 7. Fundamentally, the worry here is Canada being able to offload excessive amounts of dairy protein onto global markets at artificially low prices. That then make it harder for our exporters to compete in those global markets. And that's the case whether you're talking about skim milk powder, milk protein concentrate, or other types of protein. All of those, our folks are trying to export commercially to Asia, to Mexico, to the Middle East. We need a level playing field to compete against those. Canadian policies, we're concerned, could be impacting that.
So they replaced Class 7 with what is now 4A. Is there anything under USMCA to address this, or is it can they get away with this?
There are tools that were put into USMCA in anticipation of the fact that, as I said at the outset, the Canadians are nothing if not creative on dairy, and that we're sort of continually dealing with a shifting target here. So within the agriculture chapter, right inside the dairy provisions, actually, there's a commitment to be able to call for consultations between the U.S. and Canada, specifically if some of the dairy disciplines in the deal need relooked at and need addressed between the two countries. So we've been encouraging the administration to make use of that provision that was included and begin to discuss some of this with Canada, especially with a focus on these excessive exports of new protein products that are beginning to creep up.
So we know that our U.S. Trade Representative has talked with them about this. What's the next step in this process?
Probably the next step is really similar to how everything began on the other dairy issue with USMCA that's gotten a lot more coverage to date, and that's on the market access piece. You know, we didn't begin at the outset with launching an enforcement action against Canada on how they were dealing with dairy market access. Instead, the first step really is engagement by the USTR staff with the Canadians to say, hey, here's what we're seeing, here's where the concerns are, and begin to engage with them on that. So I'd say that type of government-to-government exchange to try to bring the two together and make sure that Canada's aware of the concerns on the U.S. side is what we're encouraging.
Okay, so I'm trying to compare this, say, to the legal system. What you just described, the process that would be in place to address it will take time. So are they allowed to keep doing what they're doing in the meantime? In other words, there's no, like, a stay doesn't get put on, like in a court ruling, a stay puts on until a final decision. They are at this point allowed to keep going with their 4A program until this is finally resolved. Is that right?
You're right, Mike. Yep. In the trade world, unfortunately, there's nothing like a court stay. To address trade issues of any kind, including these new protein exports we're seeing coming out of Canada, what the U.S. government needs to do is really kind of take it step by step. It'll take some time, but certainly the sooner that begins, the further down the road we'll be in the months to come.
Because it would seem like Canada can say, and truthfully say, well, we're technically adhering to what we agreed to under USMCA. We're not violating it. We did what we said we were going to do. So then it's the process you have to prove that, you may agree to that, but you're saying, but what you're doing is the same as that. You're just calling it something else.
You're right. And that's the fact that there doesn't seem to be a directly clear violation of the text here is what makes this issue more challenging than the market access one with tariff rate quotas into Canada. I'd say in particular, that's why we've focused on what the intent of the negotiators was. We think it's pretty clear that the intention of the negotiators in USMCA was to discipline how much artificially low dairy protein Canada could offload onto global markets. So if they're exporting more than that, through these other products, in our view, helping to plug those additional exports really should be a key part of that focus.
I'm assuming, Shauna, this is not a total surprise. I remember when USMCA was being negotiated, you saying that, you know, USMCA wasn't a perfect solution. It was going to bring improvement to the situation with Canada, but you realized then it wasn't going to fix all problems.
Right. Each agreement that the U.S. has, I think, ever negotiated is hopefully a step in the right direction. And I think that's how we saw USMCA, is that it was not a sort of silver bullet, fail-safe solution to the challenges we were dealing with. But it certainly, we anticipated, should help improve and begin to address the situation. I think now that we're seeing where some of those cracks are with these extra milk protein isolate protein exports leaking out of Canada, we really need to focus in on helping to cement those gaps so that it can live up to the potential.
So the challenges continue, and we'll keep a close watch on this. Shauna, while we have you, a quick update on dairy trade overall, our exports. What can you tell us as far as how they are going and issues and challenges other than Canada to keep an eye on?
Well, thanks for that. Happily, knock wood, this year has been pretty encouraging to date. And I think that may be a little surprising, particularly since one of the big challenges we continue to hear a lot about from a number of our exporters are the challenges at port and simply the logistics of shipping. This is something impacting a few others in the ag sector outside of just dairy, but certainly container availability to actually be able to put the goods onto ships and move them back out to foreign markets and the unpredictability of that. Those are headwinds our industry is contending with. So the positive trade numbers we've seen, I think, are all the more impressive given the challenges that the industry's been having to deal with over the last several months.
Yeah, that continues to be another issue to watch, just how we can physically move goods, right? I mean, that's becoming a bigger and bigger challenge.
Absolutely. And frankly, I think we're going to need a combination of approaches to deal with it. We've been encouraging the administration to look at what more they can do in the interim here, particularly if it seems like some of these ocean carriers aren't abiding by existing guidelines and regulations. And then at the same time, you know, there's probably some, I think there certainly are some legislative improvements we should see to the Shipping Act. We anticipate that there will be legislation introduced to help improve that and begin to tackle the issue more effectively in the very near future here.
All right, Shauna, thank you very much for the update. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Take care. Shauna Morris, Senior Vice President, Trade Policy for the National Milk Producers Federation. All right, up next, we take a look at markets. We're getting closer to the August crop report. We also, big sale of soybeans. It's been confirmed now it is to China. We kind of figured that all along, but now it is confirmed. So where are we with the markets right now moving forward? We'll get Naomi Bloom's thoughts on that. Naomi is Senior Market Advisor for Total Farm Marketing. That's next here on AOA.